All right, everyone, on today's episode, we are changing the name from nothing to something major. We are going to hit on Aussie Open round one, focusing mainly on the men. We're going to get into some upsets, some of our favorite matchups, and who's going to go deepest in the draw. So with that, let's get into the show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Nothing Major. I've got Jack Sock, John Isner, Steve Johnson, Charlie Fox, the team at SIFT. We're going to do something a little different. We got the Australian Open going on, as everyone knows. So for the next 2 weeks, we are going to do mini recap shows. We're going to call it something major for the time being. We're going to record on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, basically after each round. So after the first round, we'll record second round, third round, and so on. We're going to give you our takes and what's going on. These episodes should be out for everyone like on Tuesday, like Tuesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and so on. So we're going to try to run through these and get them out, and it should be good. This is new for us, so give us some feedback, some comments. If you guys like what we're doing, have any ideas, we are open to it. Also, a good time to subscribe. You don't want to miss these episodes. They're going to be really good. You're going to want our takes on the Aussie Open. So for these episodes, we're mostly going to talk ATP because that's what we know. That's our experience. We will touch on the WTA side of things, though, when there's some big results. But for the most part, we're going to focus on the men. So let's get into the show. First round of the Australian Open is done. I'm going to throw it over to Stevie. Of the top seeds, who looked the best to you?
Yeah, I think out of all those guys, they kind of took care of business in the first round. There was a few upsets, but I think Sasha Zverev kind of is the biggest winner of the first round just because he got to play on Sunday. He's going to have 15 days to play his seven matches if he can get to the end of the tournament. So he's going to have the most rest and recovery from those guys. Fritz looked really good. So it's just interesting, you know, of the top guys, you expect him to get through. But I think Sasha has that little mini advantage just because he played on Sunday. So he'll have an extra day or two off from some of the guys that played, Monday or Tuesday.
John, did you watch Novak play Nisesh Basavaretti?
I saw the highlights. I think it's a good sign for him. Obviously, he dropped the first set, but pretty comprehensive win. Three straight sets after that. There was a cool little moment after the third set of him talking to Murray with, you know, the new little coach's corner they have on the court. What do you guys think about that?
I like it.
Yeah, I kind of like it too. They're like right on the court. Anyways, so you saw Murray and him sort of like, you know, talking strategy. You would love to be a fly on the wall right there to see what Murray was telling Novak ahead of that fourth set. But I thought all the top players looked good. I know Sinner's match was pretty close, but considering he hadn't played a match since Turin, I thought he looked great. And he had a tough draw. I mean, he was Nicholas Jarry is, you know, he's one of those guys that's like 36 or 37 in the world, just missed being seeded. He's a big game. So for Sinner to get through a pretty close match, I think that'll do him really, really well going forward. Fritz, one-way traffic. I think a lot of us saw that coming. You guys remember that Brooksby actually beat him at the US Open like 5 years ago?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but like, anyways, Jensen hadn't played any matches at all. Taylor's played a bazillion matches. So that, you know, I think all of us saw that coming. I thought all the top guys looked good. Alcaraz, Sinner, it's shaping up in my mind for a lot of the top eight guys to go very, very far.
Yeah, there was no real crazy upsets. Jack, did you feel when you were like seated high at a slam, did you like Sinner played Jerry first round, was kind of pushed, right? Three tough sets.
Yeah.
Alcaraz plays Shevchenko, ran through it. Did you sometimes like getting through a tough match, like first round of a slam, or did you like cruising? Sorry, I was gonna say, like, can beating a Jerry like give you a little confidence beating a tough guy first round?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure, especially there. I mean, obviously if you are expecting to go deep in the tournament, you know, you're probably not mad if you maybe have easier or more straightforward early rounds, kind of save the body, save the energy, the physical side of it. But also I feel like if you do get a tough early round, you get through it, confidence probably pretty high. That day off practice, as we said, is always, it's going to feel unbelievable. And you're just going to kind of ride the momentum into the rest of the tournament. I think both ways. I think those guys probably are happy to get on and off the court quick early. and preserve some energy, but they also probably don't mind getting tested a little bit and kind of seeing where they're at the same time.
An update from our snake draft, which we did last week. The leader right now is Steve Johnson. He's the only guy that had all three of his guys win. He had Alcaraz, Hurkacz, and his favorite player, Kei Nishikori. Of all of our, quote, dark horses that we picked, Nishikori was the only one that won.
Thank you, my boy,
Zhang Zhizhen lost a brutal five-setter to Rune. Jax Vandeschloop lost to Demon Hour. He did hit the shot of the tournament, though. I don't know if you saw his tweener. If you haven't seen it, YouTube it. It's the most unbelievable.
Sonego hit a shot that cannot be topped.
Yeah, against Wawrinka.
I'm going to defend Jack, myself, and you, Sam. Our guys played seeds first round.
I know.
So what do you mean? Don't give me that look, Stevie. We talked about
this. Luck of the draw, dude.
It is luck of the draw.
You're making excuses. It's the first little mini episode we're going to do, and you're already making excuses.
I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying our guys got dealt a pretty tough hand.
Kei Nishikori was dealt a tough hand. Round one was down match points and just battled through.
He didn't play Demon R in Australia. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Any other dark horses? And by dark horse, I'm talking about any player that's not seeded. Stevie, did anyone look good to you, a non-seed, that you're like, all right, like this guy could maybe make a run to the quarters?
Yeah, João Fonseca.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, you know, it's hard. I mean, I think it was like 6-5-5 or something like that. But in men's Grand Slam, a straight set win like that over the ninth seeded Rublev, comprehensive. I mean, the kid is, if he doesn't have as much confidence as he's ever had, I would be shocked after winning Next Gen, Canberra Challenger, qualifying. Like, the kid's on a roll the last, let's call it 21 days. So super fun to see. You know, the young kids kind of make way in their first couple slams or first major draw for him. So cool to see. And now obviously he beat Rublev, who is the ninth seed, and he'll have that draw going forward. So fun to see him, and especially, you know, at maybe a surface that maybe people wouldn't expect from a Brazilian to, you know, kind of thrive on. So fun to see.
He plays Sonego next round, and then possibly Francis Tiafoe. But he is probably my favorite. He's probably my new favorite player in tennis, João Fonseca. I love watching it. Like, he's awesome.
Yeah, and a shout out to Federer and the On crew for getting on to him early.
Early,
right? Like it was almost like right after he decommitted from the University of Virginia. For those who don't know, he was a commit to go play college tennis under Andres Pedroso in Charlottesville. I'm assuming he had some good results. Then he said, nah, I'm out. Made the right decision. He's an absolute star in the making, it appears. I don't know, just this technically speaking, watching him play, like everything is very, very pure. You know, so I think, again, shout out to Fed and the team there. They got two guys on the men's side that are very, very marketable, and Ben Shelton and João Fonseca.
He started, for those who don't know, he started 2024 at 730. He ended at top 150. What does Fonseca end this year, 2025? Stevie?
Can we talk about John's hair, by the way, real quick? It's just so on point today.
It is on point.
Yeah, it's a lot of gel in there. Yeah.
Heavy gel day.
Yeah, heavy gel day to keep it together.
Stevie, give us a Fonseca year-end ranking 2025.
Yeah, I think top 50 for sure. Just the beginning. So if he can, it just depends how he does in the big tournaments. I think he's going to be out of all the challengers for the rest of the year. So, as we all know, making that jump to the ATP level consistently is always sometimes can be tricky. So we'll see how he does with some adversity. But the nice thing is, I'm guessing he will go after Australia back to kind of South America and play his home tournaments down there in South America. So should be some friendly confines for him to get a lot of even more match wins and confidence for the rest of the year. But I think for sure top 50 by the end of the year.
I'm more bullish. I'm going top. I'm putting the over under at 20. Yeah. Like, I think he is that good. 20. John, same thing.
You want? Yeah, he's seated at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, sure. For sure seated at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, he's seated at the U.S. Open. I think if Stevie hit the nail on the head twice on your initial comment, he has Rublev's drawn out. Now, it's not that easy. Sonego's a tough out. Francis, that could be a blockbuster one in the third round. But he's got a 500 in Rio de Janeiro.
That's always weak.
it's always pretty weak. He could do well there. Obviously, he's going to be the star. He's going to be the main attraction of that whole tournament. Played it last year, I think. But anyways, he's going to have some opportunities. I think he's going to be seeded at the U.S. Open. Whether he finishes top 20 or, but you know, 20 to 30 at the very least is my floor for him at the end of the year.
Same. I want to touch on the Americans. I'm going to go to Jack. Was our boy Alex Mickelson beating Tsitsipas? Is that the upset of the tournament, do we think, so far? And also, like, how good can Mickelson be?
I would probably say so, right? I mean, I think I played him in a challenger a couple years ago, and I was impressed then with his game. And I feel like he's already improved tremendously since then. And he's obviously proved he's got to be ranked. What?
He's like 40 or something.
Yeah. 40 something already, which, and he's obviously very young still. I feel like he hasn't even been out there that long to already be 40 in the world. And then beating guys like Tsitsipas now at slams. And that's only going to give him the confidence and the belief in his game. I think he's going to be he's already very good, but I think he's going to only just keep excelling and keep going up.
He's only 22. 20 as well. Sorry. Let me say that.
Yeah. 22. Oh, 22. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He has a fake ID still. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
No, I think if I can touch on him, I think he's got a little bit of in a good way. He's got some Taylor Fritz in him.
Yeah.
In the way he competes on the court, it's very impressive. He's like a dogged competitor out there. You know, he just kind of fights the end and he stays cool and calm. I watched a little bit of his Tsitsipas match. That was an easy one to watch. I think it was early in the day for everyone back in the States. He had Ginepri on the sideline, coaching him on, but it was a good win. I mean, Tsitsipas hasn't been playing that great. I think maybe a lot of people had him winning that match, but to go on and do it in, I think it was, four sets was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Mickelson hit three return winners off first serves at 4-4 in the fourth. Mickelson's walk is a good combination of like cockiness and confidence. When he walks on the court. It's a good mixture.
He kind of goes like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that like a penguin or a flamingo or something?
Yeah.
I mean, he also has a pretty good draw kind of going forward too. So, I mean,
does he?
Yeah, he plays wild card James McCabe from Aussie, and then, you know, really, potentially a Diallo and a Kachanov. So he's got a good chance to make third, potentially fourth round. So,
I think Kachanov's nasty, by the way.
No, of course.
Anyways, he's
good. Stevie, how about the other Americans? Did you watch Shelton play Nakashima? We had TFO beat Rinderneck. The TFO match was crazy, by the way. I don't know if you saw. He's throwing up 1-5. The youngster learner Tien, who we used to practice with when he was 10 years old, we had Mitchell Kruger at a qualifying win. Out of those, we touched on Fritz. Fritz just absolutely crushed Brooksby. Just looks like he's going to cruise for a few rounds at least. What other American, TFO, Shelton, Paul, some struggled, some didn't. They all got through. Who looks the best out of that next group?
Yeah, I think Ben looks the best out of the next, you know, out of that group, just with his firepower down in Australia on those courts. Got through a tough Nakashima in straight sets. So, you know, as much as you can win comprehensively in the early rounds for these guys that have aspirations to hoist a trophy is very important to just conserve energy. So, I mean, Ben looked the best, but I want to give a shout out to a Dallas boy, Mitchell Kruger. I mean, the kid's been grinding for 10, 12, 14 years, it seems like, and he's just kind of coming into his own, you know, winning I believe it's his third Grand Slam match in the first round of Australia after qualifying. So, you know, he's a kid that's been, you know, we're close with him and, you know, super good kid, awesome tennis player, and just kind of never cracked through. So it's finally cool to see him at 32 or 31, hope to kind of break through his some good results here, you know, later in his career.
Definitely. And he's got a winnable next match. He plays Moutet, I think.
Yeah.
So he could win that.
Who beat Popperin.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see that Nakashima Shelton match had Nakashima held to win the first there up one set to love. Shelton wasn't playing his best. He had a lot of chances to win the first there, and at that, you never know at that point. But I actually felt like Nakashima had a chance there.
Nakashima's good. Do you ever,
Jack? So he served for the first set?
He served, he was up 5-3. He might have had set points on Ben's serve.
Okay.
And then he goes 5-4. Ben actually hit a ridiculous on the run. Nakashima came in on a good ball and he hit an on the run slap forehand at his feet and didn't win it and then got broken and ends up losing in straights. But
that's a good win for Shelton. Have you ever, Jack, going back to the TFO match, I don't know if you guys saw it, he actually threw up on the court. They had to take a 7-minute break to wipe up the throw up.
That still picture online is kind of nasty.
I'm going to go to Jack first. Have you guys ever thrown up in a match? Francis said if it wasn't a slam, he would have retired.
They're in Melbourne at first round of the Aussie Open when I played a young Taylor Fritz. I had horrible food poisoning or something, and I didn't sleep the entire night before I played him. I was sweating through my sheets, or I guess I had some sort of sickness, throwing up a bunch, and then I went out. We played 5 sets, and I kind of bluffed my way through it, feeling like ass. And then threw up on the court. I think a couple times.
It's good effort from Francis. let's visit the bot corner. A Pesci Perry card. Isner's boy. Isner 2.0. Tough loss to Gael Monfils in 5.
I mean, credit to Monfils. I mean, because of all the players that are having major success in their late 30s. 10 years ago, I would have said no way Monfils could have made it past 35 years old.
Yeah. You know, he's the oldest tournament winner ever.
He won Auckland, yep. And by virtue of how he plays, sliding all over the court, 15 feet behind the baseline, I think he's maybe benefited from the fact that he's missed a lot of time over the last 10 years. So he saved his body a little bit that way. But to win Auckland at 38, and then to go down to Australia, the points were probably short against Pesci Perricard, but to win 7-5 or 6-4 in the fifth after winning Auckland, backing that up, it's not easy to recover at 38, but he's crazy impressive. Pesci Perricard's not going anywhere. He's only going to get better. The serve's not going anywhere. So, look, he doesn't have much experience in Grand Slams, but it was a cool embrace at the net, between two Frenchmen, the one – obviously super old guard in the fresh blood and the old
Monfils guy. Could be his dad.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Mm-hmm. How old is Perricard?
I guess I don't know.
He could.
20? Yeah, I guess he could. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's probably 20, 21.
Yeah.
Did you guys see, Stevie, did you see Medvedev 1-5 against Samrej? I don't actually know who that is, but
I watched actually a good bit of this.
1-5. Did you see, before we get into it, did you see Medvedev's speech afterwards?
No, I missed it.
On court, he's like, oh, this guy is so good. If he plays like this, he could have anything he wants. Money, casino, riches. It was so funny.
this Samrej guy must have hit 75 drop shots.
Really?
Yeah. He had at one point love 40 down on a serve and got out of the game by hitting 4 drop shots in a row against Medvedev and then holding. He hit the ball as hard as he could from the baseline and then drop shot. Wild to watch.
That match was on right before I went to bed. And it was the first game of the match. It was on Laver. And the guy played a horrendous service game. And I go to my wife, I go, I don't think he's going to win many games at all. Next thing I know, he won 2 sets. So I didn't see it, but I don't know. Who knows? I mean, it's not like he's 18. I looked it up. He's 23, I believe, and ranked 400. So not that good.
He got into the Asia Pacific qualifier wildcard thing, and then
it's like qualifying at the the U.S. Open golf by winning the
Monday qualifier. Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly. Cool.
The Monday qualifier.
You see, American men went. They won 11 of 14 matches, and the only 3 that lost, it was Brooksby to Fritz, Nakashima to Shelton, and Bassa Veretti to Novak.
It's pretty good.
They literally could have gone 14 for 14 if the draw was a little different. Let's touch on round 2 matches. This is I want to know who Stevie thinks is going to win this one. He's got our good buddy Tommy Paul. against his favorite player, who we keep bringing up, Kei Nishikori, round two. Tommy won his first round match 7-5 in the fifth. Kei also won a five-setter. Who do you like going into this?
It hurts me to say, but I like Tommy. No, I just think Tommy will have more gas in the tank. Look, I was speaking, we had a chat with my old coach, Mark Lucero, about this, and he made a good point about Kei watching that first round match. Nobody, not since the big fella up here in this recording, goes hangdog more than the big fella than Kei Nishikori. He's not afraid to go hangdog out there and kind of look disinterested and tired and gassed, but then ultimately pull it together. So, but I think Tommy will get it done. I think it'll be a tight four sets, but I'm excited for that one. That'll be really good tennis from the baseline. I just think Tommy will kind of out youth him in the energy department in round two.
All right. I want to add something here for all you guys. What are the odds that Nishikori does not make it through the end of this match?
I was literally just going to say that.
62%.
I'm legitimately putting it at 35%.
No, you're 100% right. If you had to bet right now, does Nishikori finish the match? Yes or no?
I'll say yes, because did he play Sunday, Stevie?
Yeah, he played Sunday first on.
So he has Tuesday, 2 days off.
I think he finishes, but I think it could be like, you know, a 5-4-1, or potentially, right? Like, yeah. I think it could get, I think he maybe sneaks a set and then kind of loses energy. So I think Tommy gets through that. But should be a fun one to watch. It'll be first on Wednesday down in Australia, because Kei has never played anything but first on.
I got two more here. Jack, I want to know if Opelka wins his next round and Novak, Riley Opelka will play Novak in the third round. Riley beat him in Brisbane. Can Riley beat him again in Australia if they both win these second rounds and play in the third round?
Can he? Technically, yes. Will he? I don't think so. No. I think he got the better of Novak last week or week before, but I don't think over five and they got Murray, he's got Murray in the coach's corner, great vibes play, great PR play, and those vibes are going to be too much, unfortunately, for our friends Riley and Kudla now, who's on the bag. So Novak will get through that, in my opinion.
All right, and last, John, I want to know, it's just there's so many Americans in the draw, so it's tough. We obviously want to pick our American buddies to go far. In the section with TFO, Fonseca, if they both win, they could play in the third round. Who do you like getting through that section if it happens?
Okay, so if that's the third round matchup,
I'm going to say, I'll answer to give you time. I'm going to say Fonseca.
Yeah, me too.
Hopefully Francis doesn't listen to this episode. Francis won't listen to this episode, right? Yeah, I want Francis too.
Yeah, I want Francis, absolutely. Maybe he listens to it for motivation.
Yeah,
you're right. Francis will not make the fourth round of the Australian Open.
There you go.
Maybe he'll shout us out when he does on the on-court interview. Nice wink. Yeah. I like that.
You like that wink? Yeah.
But I can have real quick, we didn't even talk about your guy, Sam, and not Stevie's guy, Seve Korda. I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah, there wasn't a dark horse.
No, we're talking about, I'm just talking about Americans that can go deep. He wasn't mentioned at all yet on this pod, and he's flying under the radar just by virtue of him being seeded like 23, and he's kind of low key. But I like him. He had potential matchup, I think, with Draper in the third round, which would set up really well matchup wise for Sebi. So yeah. I can see him getting in the second week and possibly beyond.
I got Tristan Boyer in the second week as well.
Good, solid pick. We'll see. All right. Well, that's a good recap. Everyone, subscribe, review, let us know. Again, this is new for us. We're going to do it after every round. Update for our snake draft. Stevie's the only one with all three of his guys alive. Again, write in the comments. We're looking for punishments for whoever loses. What should we do? So give us ideas. Stevie is in the lead right now. We've got a tie for second with Jack, John, and myself. We'll be back in 2 days to cover the second round of the Australian Open. In the meantime, we've got trivia. I'm going to ask a question to you guys. You all get one guess. The question is, João Fonseca has become only the second teenager since 1973 to defeat an ATP top 10 opponent in their maiden Grand Slam match. The other teenager to beat a top 10 player in their first ever Grand Slam match was in 2002 at Wimbledon, and they beat Federer, and it's a European, and they were good on grass.
Oh, God. 2002.
A little bit of a short career, but it popped. The career popped. He had some good results.
Okay.
Someone give me a guess.
Teenager. Okay.
Tall. And I'll give you he's tall. He's like 6'5".
No. Mario Ančić.
Got it. Wow.
Wow.
Maybe I gave too many clues.
Wow. Before you said the tall thing, I was on to that. I wasn't going to say him before the...
I could see you were sniffing around like a bloodhound.
Yeah, I was. Mario.
His first ever slam match was against Roger at Wimby and took him out.
Yeah.
I feel like Jack and Stevie weren't even going to be
anywhere near that.
He's like a New York City like finance titan right now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He went to Columbia because he got sick and he couldn't play tennis anymore.
Just routine Roger. 6'3", 7'6", 6'3".
Serve and volley.
Yeah. Good effort.
Good job, John.
Good one, John.
Wow.
We finally got a trivia right. I'm impressed.
Yeah, that's the first trivia that anyone's gotten right in this game. After
helps
nine
me a little
clues.
Older probably to know that.
I should have gotten no clues.
Yeah, we needed some more breadcrumbs.
I wasn't going to get it.
Yeah, Sam, you went crazy with the clues. You didn't stop once you started.
Yeah. He's Croatian.
Yeah, European, tall, 6'5". Use the Onyx.
First name is... First name is the name of a popular video game that
some know him as Luigi's friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
good stuff.